The book of Revelation, chapter 13, if you want to turn your Bibles there with me and read along with us. In Revelation, chapter 13, there's 18 verses here, and I want to read it. We've got, the way it looks now, probably two, maybe three lessons in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. But let's begin by reading it together. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1. And John said, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were like as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne, his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth unto captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And that's what we're going to study tonight, but I want to read about the second beast that we'll look at next week. And behold, another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwelleth therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he goeth, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell except he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. There's one thing that becomes very evident, and I hope you've seen it as we study through this book. Three things that I've noticed myself that has become very evident. And one is this, that Jesus Christ will get the victory over all his enemies. Sometimes it seems in this book that even Christ himself struggles and is defeated, but that's not the case. It's said over in the 17th chapter, speaking of these world powers that come against the Lord Jesus. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. He'll defeat them. He'll put their necks under his foot, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Jesus Christ is reigning today, and he must reign until devils and men who are his enemies are put under his feet. Now that's evident as we read this, isn't it? This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the purpose that God has made concerning his Son. And Jesus, our Lord, will get the victory in the end. But secondly, there's something else that's also evident, and that's the church. In spite of her temporal setbacks and her deep afflictions, and I'll be the first one to admit, there are many. The church, every believer, suffers afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But in spite of that, she will conquer her enemies. She will get the victory at last. Now, there's places in this book that says Satan overcame the saints. And he does for a time. And he's thrown us for loops, hasn't he? You've been on this way very long, and you can say, boy, he sure tripped me up. He sure beat me up. But you know something? In the end, the saints will win the victory. The Bible doesn't say we're conquerors through him that loved us. It says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're overcomers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches that, doesn't it? We looked at that last week. They overcame him through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. And there's something else as we read this book that becomes very evident, and that's concerning Satan. That old devil, the serpent, he is a loser. He's a failure. May seem sometime like he's not. May seem sometime like there's battles that he wins. But in the end, he's the loser. And really, all through this book, as we've studied about Satan, and whatever authority and whatever liberty he is given at times, to do what he does, he's bound. He's restrained by sovereign Lord. Remember in chapter 12, we studied about him. He tried his best. Well, even before that, we found out in chapter 12 that he tried to overthrow God. I'm going to exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'm going to be like the Most High. But did he succeed in that? No, he was cast out of heaven. Christ said, I besought him as lightning fall from heaven, and he took a third of his angels with him, and they fell. And then when he had fallen, he tried his best to defeat the coming of Jesus Christ in this world. We looked at that, didn't we? 4,000 years he labored to keep Christ, tried to kill the holy seed that Christ would come out of. He failed at that. When the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, he tried to kill him then. Remember how he stirred up King Herod to kill him? And the Lord protected the Christ child, and they took him down to Egypt. And then when that didn't work, he turned his persecution on the church. He sent out these floods to try to wash her away. But a place was prepared for her in the wilderness of God where she was nourished. So Satan, he fails at everything he tries to do. He fails. He's the ultimate, ultimate failure. And I don't think you could say that he's changed his strategy, but I think he's added a new dimension to his purpose, or he's doubled down on his purpose. And you know what his purpose is? And that's what we'll see tonight, is world dominance. That's what he's after now, is world dominance. One world government that he's over. Now, Satan can't rule in his own person. He's a dark, black, fallen spirit, and he can't rule in his person. He has to rule through people. He lacks to influence governments and turn them against God, make anti-governments out of anti-God governments out of anti-Christ governments. He left for people to share false gospels. They worship him that way. He loves for people to set up idols because they worship him that way. But he has to have means. We can't just worship him because he can't be seen. He's a black, dark spirit. But he loves to be worshiped. And what he's doing in our text tonight, he's setting up these governments to rule the world by these governments. Now, to understand what these beasts are in our text in verses 1 and 2, we've got to go all the way back over to the book of Daniel. Now, I'm not going to have you to turn there because it would be too much reading. But there's just 12 chapters in the book of Daniel. I sat down the other night, and I'm not a great reader, but I read it all the way through in just a few minutes. So, when you get time, sit down in the book of Daniel and begin in chapter 1 and go all the way through chapter 12, and you'll see who this beast here is. Daniel saw several visions, and all the visions he saw was visions of beasts. He saw all kinds of beasts. Some he could look at them, and they were horrible in their appearance, and others didn't look that bad. But all of them were different kinds of beasts. For instance, he saw a ram, and the ram had two horns coming up out of the sea. And the ram was fierce. Nobody could stand before this ram with two horns. And Daniel wanted to know who this ram is. He didn't understand, and the one that was showing him the vision explained to him who this ram was. It was the kings of Persia and the king of the Medes. And he watched this ram, and he realized, man, this is a vicious ram. But while he was watching that, there was a he-goat with one horn between his eyes, and he was going so fast that his feet weren't even touching the ground. And this he-goat hit that ram and knocked him down and trampled him until he killed him. And it was said that no beast could deliver him out of that he-goat's hands. And Daniel wanted to know, who in the world is this he-goat? Well, they told him. It was the kingdom of Greece. You've all read, remember Alexander the Great? We all read about Alexander the Great and how quickly he conquered the world in his day. He was that he-goat. And then Daniel saw other visions. He saw one vision. Remember the vision he had? It was a beast-like man. And he had a crown, he had a head of gold, and his chest and his arms were silver, and his thighs were what, brass, and his legs were iron, and his feet were iron and clay together. He was such an image that it scared Nebuchadnezzar to death when he had a dream about it. Then Daniel explained who he was. He's these powers. He's these worldly governments. The head was Nebuchadnezzar, and then the breast was the king of Persia and Medes. Then he went right on down to the governments of Rome. But he's always seeing these visions, and he saw a vision of four beasts. He saw four beasts. You'll find this in the fourth chapter and the eighth chapter, I think, in the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel. He saw these four beasts. One was like a bear. One was like a lion. And one was like a leopard. And one was so dreadful, Daniel couldn't even describe him. He was so dreadful. But all of these beasts represented world governments. And we come here now in our text in verse 1 and 2, and John sees this vision, but what he sees is not four separate beasts. He sees all of Daniel's beasts united in one beast. And when Daniel saw them, he said, man, those are horrible looking beasts. They're fierce. They're violent. And they were the world powers. The powers of Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar. And the government of the Medes and Persians over Darius, and I can't even think of the other one's name. Can't remember his name now. The king, can't think of his name, Mr. Baker, now, but Darius was one of them. And the other kings, and the king of Greece, and then Rome. But he looked at the fourth beast, and Daniel had no idea who this could be. They told him who the other beasts were, but he had no idea who this fourth beast was. But here is the way they identified this fourth beast. I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. And he was strong exceedingly, and he had iron teeth. And he devoured and brake in pieces and stomped the residue with his feet. And it was different from all the beasts that were before him, and it had 10 horns. And then in verse 19 of Daniel chapter 8, he said this, "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was different from all other beasts, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces, and stomped the residue with his feet." Then verse 23, he said this about the fourth beast, "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be different from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces." And this fourth beast represented Rome. And if you ever read the history of Rome, man, that was a violent, violent government. Had some violent leaders. Nero was awful. Even Claudius Caesar. They had some good laws, but boy, they were violent people. They ruled the world with an iron fist. And they hated the Jews. Remember when Aquila and Priscilla in Acts 18 had to leave Rome? And it's because Caesar forced them out of Rome. It was a terrible, terrible government. The great fire of Rome burnt like three-quarters of Rome down. And they accused Nero of sending men out to set it on fire so he could blame Christians. You ever heard the old phrase, "fiddling while the city burns"? Well, that's what they said Nero did. He was a maniac. He was wicked and cruel. And that's who this fourth beast that Daniel saw that was so violent and cruel and mighty represented. But the thing I want you to see is these beasts that Daniel tell us about, especially the ones that look like a lion, a leopard, and a bear, and that fourth beast, they're human governments. They're kings or leaders over these human governments. But not just human governments. The core of their government is not only that they're vicious, but they're idolatrous. And they're anti-God. You notice all of the governments that we listed there, the government of Babylon, the governments of the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks and the Romans, you know all of those were heathen governments? Never mentioned even the good government of David or Solomon. All of them were heathen governments. They were idolaters. They worshiped God. They worshiped gods. And they hated the God of the universe. They hated the God of the Bible. Remember the image that Nebuchadnezzar set up and required the world to worship it? Remember that? And that's what got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the iron furnace? Remember the law that Darius, king of the Medes and Persians, made? That no one should ask a petition of any man or any god for 30 days. That got Daniel thrown in the lion's den. And it was said of Alexander the Great that he was such a corrupt man and so perverted that he actively sought, recruited homosexuals for his soldiers. And he did that not only because they said he was probably one himself, but he didn't want his soldiers longing for their wives and their children when they were out on the battlefield for years at a time. So he recruited. He was a very, very corrupt man. And in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, speaking of this fourth beast, this is what was said about him. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And that's what the Roman government was. It was an ungodly government. And it hated God. I remember reading in the Fox's Book of Martyrs where the Roman government becomes so hostile towards believers, they were killing 5,000 believers every day. Ain't that amazing? One of the reasons they kill them is because, and we studied this in one of our other lessons, they required everybody in the Roman Empire to acknowledge Caesar as their Lord. And Christians wouldn't do it. And so they started killing them. They said there was times in some of the roads that they made examples out of Christians and they would crucify them. You could look down the roads each side and there were crosses and Christians were hanging on. You can read that in Fox's Book of Martyrs. What Daniel saw in all three of these beasts and in the fourth beast, John sees combined in this one beast. Now, if they were bad when they were separate, how bad are they going to be when they combined? And that's what John is talking about here in his vision tonight. This beast here in our text, he had on his head the name of blasphemy. We read that, didn't we? And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, blasphemed his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them for a time. And listen to this. Power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, this is what Satan has been longing for. This is his aim. And this is what's coming in the latter days of the history of this world. This is what he's been trying to do all along through these governments made up of men. God sets governments up for good. But Satan uses them. He influences them to drive the knowledge of God out of the country, to set up idols in that country, and set up all kinds of perverted acts and beliefs in a country. Look here in verse 2. This tells us something about what kind of government this is going to be, this one world government. I don't know. It's going to be made up, no doubt, of several governments, but they're all going to be combined in one. But look here what's said about it in verse 2 of our text. Revelations 13 and 2. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leper, and his feet like the feet of a bear, his mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon, remember who that is? Satan, that old devil, the serpent. He gave him his power and his throne and great authority. Where does this beast get his power to be so mean and anti-God? He's being influenced by Satan himself. Now, Paul spoke of this. Look over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look in verse 1. Paul spoke of this very man of sin who's coming is after the working of Satan. And look how he says it here in chapter 2, verse 1, 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Now the church is going to be weak in the last days. The church is going to get weaker and weaker in the last days. There's come a falling away. We probably, brothers and sisters, haven't seen anything yet. We talk about a lack of desire on people, not living up to the profession and all of this. We probably haven't seen anything yet. Falling away. A falling away. And then what happens? That man of sin be revealed, the son of destruction. He's the son of perdition. Now, Paul calls him a man of sin. I don't know if it's one man or if it's a group of men. But it's these governments that united as one that has a king over them or a president over them or a group of people over these governments. And Paul calls them collectively a man of sin. And look at him. Look at his attitude. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Somebody's restraining him. Aren't they? Get that? Now you know who's restraining. Somebody's restraining him. He's been trying to set up these governments all along, but he's been restrained. He's failed in his purpose. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned. All be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, brothers and sisters, here's what I believe the Scriptures teaches. There is coming a one world government. That's Satan's aim. It'll be anti-God. It'll be anti-Christ. It'll be anti-Christianity. Anti-good. Anti-wholesome. And it'll have one man or a group of men over these governments of the world. And this government, this worldwide government, will not be forced on anybody. The world will receive it gladly. The world will rejoice to have it so. They will say, worship the beast. Who's able to make war against this beast? Look at him. Look how strong, look how glorious he is. They worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is able to make war with the beast? So we talk about resistance by the world, that the world will not accept such a... The world will love it. The world will love it. It's just what the world is looking for. Christ said, I've come in my own name, and you won't receive me. But if another comes in his own name, him you will receive. And this one world government will be represented as one that can solve all the world's problems and bring peace and prosperity. Now, when you read the book of Daniel, you'll see that. These beasts were violent and cruel, but boy, they were prosperous. These kings were smart. Nebuchadnezzar kept alive who he wanted to. He killed who he wanted to. He was a vicious man, but he was a brilliant man. He's a brilliant man. And the leader of this one world government will be a smart guy. Listen to what Daniel said concerning this world power that's coming, that was coming. In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sayings shall stand up. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. There's coming a government united, and it'll be a powerful government. But where does it get its power? We read it, didn't we? Satan gave it, the dragon gave it its power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and he shall prosper and practice, and thou shalt destroy the mighty and the holy people, and through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hands. It's going to be a government that everybody says, man, why didn't we have this government all along? Look how smart these rulers are. Look at the things they're thinking to do. They're making life so much easier. And it's a peaceful government. Only thing about it, it's an anti-God government, anti-Christ government. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and listen to this, and by peace he shall destroy many, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And he shall also stand up against the prince of princes. He shall be broken without hand. Christ is going to destroy him with the brightness of his coming, and going to destroy him with the spirit of his mouth. And Daniel chapter 11, he goes on to mention this about this Antichrist government. The king shall do according to his will, and shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. It shall be done. And there's no stopping this, is there? There's no stopping this government that's coming. It's God's purpose. It's God's will that it should happen. And for a while, he's going to let Satan have his way and set up these governments. And brothers and sisters, it's going to be a most terrible time of trouble for the church. Here's what Daniel said in the 12th chapter of Daniel. This shall be a time of trouble for the saints, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. A time of trouble. They call it Jacob's trouble. So who are these? Who is this beast that looks so dreadful, like a bear and a leopard and a lion, and that fourth beast that Daniel couldn't even describe? He was so horrible. They're the governments of this world. And they're governments that are heathens. They hate God. They hate the gospel. And with Satan's influence, they'll push the knowledge of God out. They'll pervert the gospel. They'll do away with it. There'll be no gathered of the saints to worship if this government can stop it. That's what these beasts represent. Now, two more things quickly. Here in Revelation chapter 13, look back over there, in verse 3, John makes this statement here about this beast that had seven heads and that looked like a leopard and so on. And then in verse 3, he saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, what in the world is this about? I think this, if we'll leave this in its context, and remember, this is speaking of kings, those in authority, and their government. If we leave it this in the context, I think we'll have to come to this conclusion. Just after the flood, the world had one language and one speech. And it was here, just after the flood, when men began to populate, that Satan attempted to set up one world government. You'll find this in Genesis chapter 10. I asked Cindy this evening, I said, what was the first government that was attempted to set up in this world? And you know what it was? Babel. Remember the man by the name of Nimrod, that mighty hunter before the Lord? He was a most ungodly, rebellious man. And God spoke to humanity and said, scatter out. It's time to scatter out and repopulate and replenish the earth. And Nimrod said, no way. We're not scattering. If we scatter, we'll lose our influence. Our power is to stick together. So what did he do? He tried to set up a kingdom. That was the first kingdom that was set up in this world. We have no kingdoms before the flood that we read of. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. And he set it up and he said, let's start right here on this location. And let us build a city. And let us build a tower to heaven. And we won't be scattered and we'll get ourselves a great name. That was the first government that tried to be set up. And the Lord came down, and what does the scripture say he did? He confounded their language. He said, you're not setting up a one world government here. And he scattered them all over the world, and they went. And that was the wound that was given Satan. That was the wound that was given to the king in that day that tried to set up this kingdom. His head was wounded. But he was going to set up the kingdom of Babel. Now, who was it that undertook to redo that kingdom and really set it up? Remember the king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar? What was his kingdom? Babylon. Remember what he said? He walked out on his balcony and he looked out over the city with those great walls and he said, is this not great Babylon that I have made for myself and for my majesty, the glory of my kingdom? And that's when that voice fell out of heaven and sent him out to eat like an oxen. And here is where the deadly wound was healed. God yielded a wound to Nimrod and to Satan through Nimrod. You're not going to do it. But now he allows that wound to be healed and Nebuchadnezzar sets up the kingdom of Babylon. I thought it's very interesting. There was a little place, just a small area, where Nimrod chose to build that tower. They say there used to be a foundation there that they could still see. I don't know if it's still there, if they even know where it is. I don't know if that was true or not. But you remember where it was located at? Genesis chapter 10. It was a little place called Shinar. Shinar. Now what's significant about that? Well, you remember the image that Nebuchadnezzar set up and said the world has to worship this image? And if you don't worship this image, you're going to be cast into the fiery furnace. Remember where that little place was, where that image was set up? Shinar. The very same place. So here is the wound that went to the head of Nimrod when he tried to set up a kingdom. But here is Nebuchadnezzar in the very same place that wound was healed. And we see it all the way over here in the book of Revelation. And it was simply this. Satan was trying to set up this one world government in rebellion against God. And the Lord wouldn't let him. But the wound was healed, and now Satan was influencing all of these other governments. And he's going to bring them all together in the last days. I don't care if it's Russia, if it's China, the United States, if it's Mexico, if it's Canada, they're all coming together under the influence of Satan with this purpose. We want rid of God. We're Antichrist. Don't ever let us hear the gospel preached again. That's his aim in this world. And that's why it so troubles us when we look at our country and see what's going on in our country. It's not going on over in Europe. Pastors are being arrested over there from time to time because they preach against sin.
It's happened up in Canada. And this whole attitude is coming. It's coming. The trouble and the turmoil in the world, and Satan is going to influence these kingdoms, anti-God kingdoms. The second thing about this is this, though. This one world government will not stand but a short time. Only a short time. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who reigns in heaven and reigns on this earth, will consume this kingdom. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And there will be no stopping that. Christ Himself will destroy that kingdom. Look back in our text one more time. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. This is encouraging to us. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him. But then he almost like he corrects himself, doesn't he? Wait a minute, he said. Not everybody's going to worship Him. Those whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, they shall worship Him. But there are some people that will not worship that one world government. They'll say, you're not our Lord. We have a Lord. They'll hold to Christ. They'll obtain mercy to be faithful. They'll obtain grace to be patient and believe and wait until the Lord destroys that government. I love this. I love what this says here, don't you? You know, we talk about things that's going to happen in time, but I'm telling you, before time, there was something happened. You know what happened before time? God, in His purpose, wrote the names of a great host of people down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And His purpose is to save them, and they shall be saved. In spite of flesh, the world, and devils, they shall be saved. I have reserved to myself 7,000 men that's never bowed the knee to the image of Baal, and they won't bow to this government either. They'll be like those princes of Germany when they bowed their heads before the Council of Rome. You can have our necks, but you can't have the truth. We bought it and we'll never sell it. Aren't you glad for that book, brothers and sisters? Aren't you glad that He tells us about it? The Lord sent His disciples out to cast out devils and heal the sick. And they come back and they were so happy. Remember that? They were just rejoicing. They said, Lord, even devils are subject to us through their names. And the Lord said, don't get too excited about that. But rejoice in this, that your names are written in heaven. Oh, brothers and sisters, to live in the confidence of that, in the faith of that, is wonderful, isn't it? What is it that we can't endure if we live in the faith that our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life? And God writes that down with a pen of iron and they'll never be erased. Not one name will be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what He said. And Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8 says those names were put in there before the foundation of the world. Before time. There was a time there wasn't any government. There was a time there wasn't a devil. But I don't know that there's ever been a time there wasn't a book of life with the names of all God's elect written in it. In the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. See that all along. Nothing's out of God's control. We're not working on plan B. His plan A all along was to send His Son to redeem those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He says it's just as though He was slain before the world was. In the purpose of God, that's how sure the cross is. We're living in a world, brothers and sisters, that's under the wrath of God. But there's saints in this world that will never know God's wrath. And I tell you why. Somebody else has redeemed them from it. Somebody else took the wrath on their in their place. I love that, don't you? And that's why we can read this book and see Satan here, where he seems like he's getting the victory. It's short-lived. It's short-lived. So we can rejoice, can't we? Father, thank you. Thank you for this lesson. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how plain it is when we compare it to other scriptures. Thank you for giving it to us. What a comfort it is when we look at these things, Lord, and realize the trouble that's coming to the church. But you're the church's head. You're the church's foundation. And we're safe and sound in you, and we praise you for it. Bless these words to these dear people. May they rejoice in them. May they believe them and understand them. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.